XEO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Tariffs are coming tomorrow.
It's a very powerful weapon that politicians haven't used because they were either dishonest, stupid, or paid off in some other form. And now we're using them.
25% on Mexican and Canadian goods. Jill Schlesinger says you may notice some price increases right off the bat.
It has a lot to do with fruits and vegetables, mostly because those things that are perishable will have to be imported pretty quickly, and those prices will go up.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says one of the things voters complained about most was the high cost of so many goods and products, and now he says President Trump is making it worse. Canada's foreign minister.
Let's be clear. If Trump is imposing tariffs, we're ready.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials plunged nearly 650 points. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at bullfallsradio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. 88 Wisconsin farmers are currently waiting on millions of dollars promised to them by the federal government. The Dairy Business Innovation Program gives grants to more than 400 dairy farmers across the country to allow them to grow. Under the Trump administration, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has frozen the payments, and 88 Wisconsin farmers were waiting on $6.5 million. Farmers who are due to get the money applied for it in 2023, were approved in 2024, and started working on projects like growing or updated technology, knowing that they'd be reimbursed. So without that reimbursement, they could be in trouble. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says half of the grant recipients are small farms, with fewer than 5 employees. They'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. this week to push for the release of this money. Senator Tammy Baldwin is also asking the USDA to resume the payments. She spearheaded the program. And Senator Ron Johnson held a virtual town hall meeting with Wisconsinites last week. Melissa Kay has more.
When asked where he stands on Ukraine, Johnson said the war started by Russia has to end.
I've repeatedly said Vladimir Putin's a war criminal. He's obviously the aggressor. He didn't have to start the war.
Johnson also said the reality is Vladimir Putin will not lose this war.
The only way the war ends is in a negotiated settlement. You can quibble with how you negotiate that, but I'm not going to like the result.
Johnson said the longer the war goes on, more people will die.
The result will get worse and worse because more Ukrainians die, more of Ukraine gets destroyed. More Russian conscripts die. Take no joy in that.
Senator Johnson said he supports President Trump's efforts to end this war that Russia started.
Average gas prices fell 5 cents in the past week for an average of $2.80 today. The promised tariffs from the Trump administration could not only create economic uncertainty, but also impact what some motorists pay at the pump in the weeks ahead. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Wisconsin falls short to the Spartans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Badgers had the lead at halftime, but lost to the Spartans at Michigan State, 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You're always going to build your program and your team to be able to survive those. And the two things that we didn't do well enough when you have one of these 5-for-32 games, and part of that's Michigan State's defense. Part of it, you know, we had good looks. I thought we had some really good looks at times from the right guys.
Up next, Wisconsin plays the Gophers in Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette with a win over the weekend at Georgetown. They head north to face UConn on Wednesday. UW-Milwaukee had no trouble against Detroit Mercy. The Panthers winning 89-67, securing the number 3 seed in the Horizon League tournament. And the number 1 ranked Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team shut out Bemidji State in Madison 11-0. So the Badgers advance to the first round of the WCHA playoffs Friday in Duluth. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a few showers around and lows in the mid-30s. And areas of rain for tomorrow, mainly in the afternoon, a high to the mid-40s. Rain changing to snow tomorrow night and windy. There could be some slushy accumulations Wednesday. Right now it's 38.
Tuesday night, it's the start of the high school boys basketball playoffs as the Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team travels to Wabino-Leona for a Division 5 regional quarterfinal. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip-off at 7 p.m. Newman Catholic High School Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurant, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic at Wabino Leona in a boys basketball Division 5 regional quarterfinal. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip at 7 on Wausau's only radio station that still provides live play-by-play of high school sports. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host, Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night where we start our countdown for the next Oscar broadcast, which is just 364 short days away, ladies and gentlemen. Did you watch? I did. I love movies. I love to watch movies. I like to watch the Oscars. I didn't always watch them, but I did watch them last night. I watched them last year. As the years go by, I find myself watching the entire broadcast more. It's fun to watch with a group, kind of like the Super Bowl. A billion people joined me last night in watching the Oscars. Were you one of them? Let me know. Let me know what your thoughts were about the broadcast, about some of the winnings or people who maybe got snubbed. Did you think there was a surprise? Did you have no interest? You can share all of this stuff at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines are open. Let me know what you thought of the Oscars. We'll be joined at 635 by one Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic who we have on this show quite frequently to do a deep dive into the broadcast. Lots to talk about, too. There was Conan O'Brien as the host. There was some kind of crazy, weird James Bond tribute, the In Memoriam segment was always, that's a staple at the Oscars. A couple snubs there we'll talk about. Adam Sandler made a crazy surprise appearance. Timothy Chalamet showed up. I want to cheer for this guy, but I don't know what he was doing with that yellow outfit. Don't you have enough attention? You're an Oscar nominee in the Best Actor category. You're a young guy. You had two films that were nominated for Best Picture, and you show up wearing that? That just screams like, I need more attention. Really strange. But we'll talk about all things Oscar over the course of the night. We'll talk about Adrian Brody's really long acceptance speech, which is ironic because he was in The Brutalist, which was almost 4 hours, and I muscled through that yesterday before the broadcast. You see The Brutalist, Conrad?
I did not.
Awful. Did not like it. I would give Razzies to The Brutalist and The Substance. The Substance was just terrible, in my opinion. The Brutalist was just long and sort of self-indulgent. It looked cool. The acting was great, but eh. We'll talk about all of that with Matt Miller. He's going to be here to help us do a deep dive into last night's broadcast. And then at 7:35... this is exciting. We have the chair of the musical theater department at UW-Stevens Point, who's going to be here talking about their big spring play, Pirates of Penzance, that those of you who live in Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Plover, Stevens Point, it's all right there. Beautiful facility, gorgeous theater, and you can still catch Pirates of Penzance. I know this coming weekend, possibly the weekend after too. Not 100% sure about that, but we will talk with our guest, Mark Hansen, about that and how you can catch this great show by these up-and-coming musical theater future professionals. We'll talk about that at 7:35 with Mark Hansen. Riding shotgun, as usual, is the lovable producer, Conrad.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. It was a really nice day. How about that?
Yeah. It was a great day to stay inside and just kind of hang out a little bit.
I had the windows open. Got outside for a little bit today. Took a little walk. It was nice. Great.
I was inside. I had a lot of work to do, and I thought, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for me to get outside. The last three gorgeous days, I've stayed inside and just kind of worked on the show, worked on some other stuff, made some phone calls. We have a little bit of business here we have to get to. The other night, Friday, we got text. We got Tom from Jackson sent us a text right as we were going off the air. And he said, what is the name of the restaurant? And that was in Door County, I believe we were talking about, where our musical guest, Laura Sawaska, worked. And I don't know that we asked Terry that, Tom. If I had seen your question, I would have asked her. I don't know that she knew, actually. But we could try to find that out.
It was a diner, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Washington Island?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we'll have to try to find that out. I would love to go see her. She sounds fantastic. Loved the song Terry brought Friday night for Barbie on Friday night. Always fun. And then we got another text, too. Bud. I got Bud confused with Brian from Milwaukee, I think.
You did, yes.
Bud is the one who listens from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. when we're on the repeat. The rebroad, the recast, the rebroadcast, if you will. Bud from Janesville tuned in and says, hi, guys. I deliver newspapers in Madison, and I appreciate the shout-out. By the way, I deliver papers from a truck. So he is a truck driver. I knew I wasn't crazy.
You got that right.
Glad we could keep you company, Buck. Bring the news, Bud, Buck. I got Oscars in the brain because I had a joke about, never mind. Bud, keep listening. Happy we keep you company. Keep delivering the papers. I assume it's newspapers. Do we still have newspapers? I hope so. But thanks for listening, buddy. And text anytime. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our guests, Matt Miller, 6:35, Mark Hansen from UW-Stevens Point at 7:35, and that brings us, in honor of the Oscars, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your best picture from last year? What film would you give an Oscar to? Let me know. I know you guys, over the course of the year, saw at least one movie. And that would have to be your Oscar winner, because that's what I'm asking. What is your best picture from last year? What film would you give an Oscar to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's a good question. And I'm going to have to actually think about that. I kind of spent all this time coming up with the question because I wanted it to be best picture related. And now I'm kind of, what did you see? You only saw Dune 2, right?
No, that's the movie I didn't see.
Oh, that's the movie you didn't see.
You know, I give it to The Fall Guy.
You can show yourself out.
I'm kidding. I actually.
Wait, that's the only picture you saw.
No,
okay.
No, I would actually give it to The Challengers. That movie I really.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Really, really liked that
movie. That's a great choice. Okay. Yeah. Different, innovative, cool. I admit I'm getting swept up in the Anora buzz. Sean Baker, who he wasn't even on my radar until a guest recently said, what have you seen of Sean Baker's or something to that effect? And I started watching Sean Baker films. I had heard of The Florida Project for a couple years, and it was on my list of things to watch. Never watched it. And then when the guest said that, I can't remember who it was, I watched The Florida Project. Loved it. One of the sweetest, kind of sad, but one of the sweetest endings I've ever seen in a film. Willem Dafoe was great. And I watched Tangerine, Red Rocket, or Red Rooster, Red Rocket, and Anora. And I have to be honest, I don't even think Anora is Sean Baker's best film. But Hollywood loves this guy. And for him to go on a tear like he did last night, I think they were nominated for 6 Oscars and they won 5. That was the big story last night, was Anora. Let me know if you saw Anora. I liked it. I'm surprised it won, but having seen The Brutalist now, which I did not like, I don't know what I would have picked. But I would say last year, or at least of the films I saw this year, I might have liked A Complete Unknown the best. Conclave was good. Best picture I saw all year, though. I will get back to you. Let me know what you guys think, though. What's the best film you saw all year? What would you give an Oscar to? 855-752-4842. You can text us on the app. Really easy to use if you haven't downloaded it. Check it out. There's a little text icon right next to whatever station you are listening to, because we are on statewide. So you just click the text icon and fire away, or you can call us. You can also text us on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
Yeah, so on Facebook, it's WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
And I've got a great shirt on tonight, folks. I'm wearing one of my favorite shirts. So if you do watch on the stream on YouTube or whatever the outlets Conrad just said, you're going to get to see me in a really slick-looking shirt. If that's not enough to get you to the stream, I don't know what is. But join us any way you can. Just join us. Be part of the show. Today is National Irish Whiskey Day.
Yeah.
Man, that makes me thirsty. I'm on like month 27 now with no booze, other than the occasional Blue Moon with like 0.25 alcohol in it or something. Now, I do drink 100 of those to catch a buzz. That might be a problem. But no, International Irish Whiskey Day. That, do you like Irish whiskey? I don't know if I was into it at your age.
No, you know, I'll take the occasional shot during March because, you know, getting festive. But I don't really like it in drinks or just by itself.
You know what's weird? I used to drink Jameson when I was your age. That's what we would do. If we were at the bars or even when I was younger, we would do a shot of Jameson. Mm. A shot. Ugh. Like, if you're just going to get drunk, drink the cheapest crap there is. You don't down good Irish whiskey. And I think there are better Irish whiskeys than Jameson. I'm just saying, even back in my mid-20s, I was probably popping down $5 for a shot of Irish whiskey. Why would I do that? And then just down it. It's like my mother-in-law had a guy she was seeing for a while, and I had great Irish whiskey. I think I had Tullamore Dew or something. I asked him if he wanted some, and I poured in two fingers, and then he puts Coke in it. I almost lost my mind. I mean, no, that's what Kessler's for. But whatever. I love Irish whiskey. You can tell me your favorite Irish whiskey too, folks, if you like. So many good ones. I do think my favorite for the money is Tullamore Dew. You ever had Tullamore Dew?
I have.
Yeah.
I'm just not a huge... I really don't sip anything on the rocks, to be honest.
Oh, I drink it neat. I think really good whiskey, just in my opinion, I think it has to be neat.
Okay. There's one... It
doesn't have to be, but...
There's one liquor that I actually drink by itself.
What's that?
And it's Bumbu.
What's that again?
It's a rum, but it's like a banana.
I don't know rums.
Banana flavored.
Okay.
It's so good. I have it in mixed drinks or I have it just in a glass. It's for Christmas 2 years ago, I got a set of the Bumbu and then the little glasses.
Wow. Look at you, man. Yeah. Styling. All right, we have so much to talk about. We're talking Oscars tonight. Matt Miller's here. Mark Hansen is here at 7:35 talking about a great big production at UW-Stevens Point. We're going to do a deep dive on the Oscars with Matt. We're going to come back and talk more about the Oscars. I've heard Adrian Brody is still delivering his acceptance speech. We'll check in on that. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. get answers. Connect today toll-free, 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Chad Holmes. Join Jeff Gress and myself on Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We'll talk about high school basketball and hockey playoffs, plus special guests at 6:25. Our coach guest will be from D.C. Everest, head boys basketball coach of the Evergreens, Oliver Drake. Then at 7:06, it's our student-athlete guest from Wausau West, senior defenseman Drake Kuharski. We'll talk to him as the Warriors get set to head to the state tournament later this week. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, this Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
So, I was all set to read a text, and Google makes me log in.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have to keep everybody in suspenders here. Because that's my favorite Benny Hill saying. We're going to keep you in suspenders. So our question tonight is, what would you give an Oscar to for Best Picture? What's the best film you saw last year? Let us know. 855-752-4842. Ross from Crawford County. Ross is checking in. Hey, buddy. He says, I like Enora because the actress had such spunk, she just wouldn't put up with you-know-what. And when the Russian or Armenian mafia boy showed up, I thought, oh boy, here comes the violence. And it just turned into these bumbling fixers that was just hilarious. It brought some levity to a serious movie. Very well said, Ross. That's a great take. He says, Nickel Boys was great. A complete unknown. I really enjoyed. They're all good movies. All of the ones you mentioned, Ross, I liked a lot too. Nickel Boys is such a heart-wrenching story. Based on a true story, loosely. The two characters were great. It was weird watching, for me personally, watching them break the fourth wall. I had trouble adjusting to that. And I don't know if that helped or hurt their cases for Best Picture. I don't know. But I did enjoy the film. And I do agree with you. You know, Sean Baker stuff is also weirdly funny. It's kind of like dark comedy. The Russian guys were funny. I think there's a scene where Enora kicked one of the guys in the nose and broke his nose. I just felt like it went on too long, and I'm totally nitpicking because, you know, now that the Oscars are in the books and you see how overwhelmingly Enora won, you kind of have to go, yeah, okay, that's the best picture. Not saying it was like anonymous. I think The Brutalist was a favorite for a while. I thought Conclave had picked up steam, and I would have been okay with that too. There was great acting, pretty good script, and then a cool twist at the end I did not see coming. So I would have been okay with that, too. Ryan from Madison, he's in the 608. He says, that's a Marjorie Taylor Greene text. That was not a best picture.
No.
That text was not a best picture. I don't think it was intended for this show. So, Kurt checks in on the stream and says, A Complete Unknown was phenomenal. I was hoping it would sweep the Oscars and bummed it didn't win any. Yeah, that's right. They got shut out, didn't they, Kurt? I liked it a lot, too. I was surprised. I thought maybe, especially since, like, Adrian Brody won, but The Brutalist kind of got shut out, I thought, after that. It might have won one more. I thought, you know, maybe Timothy Chalamet would win, but he didn't. And seeing that outfit he had on, I'm glad he didn't win. What is he doing? I know people want to seem weird and make their mark and stand out, but good Lord.
My theory is that Kylie Jenner dressed him.
Yeah, that's true. Blame the Kardashian, right? You might be right about that. You got to stand out, Tim. In the 608, I was disappointed that Timothy Chalamet and Demi Moore lost. Halle Berry looked amazing. Yes, she did. That's Anna from Madison. Thank you, Anna. I was watching, my mom was over. I was watching it with my wife, my mom, and my mother-in-law. And we all got so drunk. There were drugs. It was great. No, but my mom and my mother-in-law both commented on Halle Berry. She looked beautiful. No question about that. I don't know about Timothy Chalamet. I would have been fine if he won because he was great. He learned how to play the guitar. He did the voice. It was great. But Demi Moore, I don't know. That I just hated everything about that movie. And I thought there were other actresses that did really well, too. I have no problem with Mikey Madison. She kind of carried the whole movie. We should check in because Adrian Brody won his second Best Actor Award, which is quite an accomplishment. That's incredible. And last I heard, he was still talking. And he has now surpassed the amount of time it took to watch The Brutalist. Yes. Let's hear part of his speech.
They're already counting me down. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you. For this blessed life. If I may just humbly begin by giving thanks for the tremendous outpouring of love that I've felt from this world and every individual that has treated me with respect and appreciation. I feel so fortunate. You know, acting is a very fragile profession. It looks very glamorous, and in certain moments it is, but the one thing that I've gained having the privilege to come back here is to have some perspective.
Whew.
And
make it stop.
No matter where you are in your career, no matter what you've accomplished, it can all go away. And I think what makes this night most special is the awareness of that and the gratitude that I have to still do the work that I love.
We'll come back. I don't, it goes on quite a while.
Yes,
we'll
it
be
does.
Checking back in throughout the show to see if he put some closure on that. Very sweet, very genuine. He teared up. He's obviously very thankful, but it's funny that an actor who's so charismatic does not give a great speech. And maybe he wasn't prepared. Maybe he was talking from the heart. I don't know. I do think Adrian Brody's a great actor. My issue was with that movie. If that was, and I've heard it's like loosely based on other stories of architects and immigrants, but all the weird stuff that happened in that movie, I'm okay. I would have liked it better if it were a true story or based on an actual guy named Laszlo who came to this country and connected with this millionaire and built cool structures. It just went on forever. And I don't think it was the best picture. I just saw it under the wire yesterday, and I'm glad it didn't win. And I would have taken Anora, Conclave, A Complete Unknown. I thought they were all way better than The Brutalist. I like the double entendre name, but was not a huge fan. So our question tonight, what would you give an Oscar to? What's the best picture you saw last year? What's your best picture? Let us know. 855-752-4842. And we'll ask the same question to my next guest. Matt Miller joins us, the Milwaukee film critic. We'll do a deep dive into the Oscars, recap the event, talk about some of the movies. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll check in again and see if Adrian Brody is still talking. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin sees its first ever dip in alcohol-related deaths following the spike in 2020. Alcohol consumption remains a significant issue in Wisconsin, with the state health data showing that one in every five adults has engaged in binge drinking in the past month. The most recent data shows a drop in alcohol-related fatalities from 2022 to 2023, marking the first recorded decrease in years. Before this, alcohol-related deaths had increased annually since the DHS began tracking them in 2014. And since then, at least 27,000 people have died from alcohol-related causes in the state. The biggest year-over-year increase came between 2019 and 2020, when alcohol deaths rose nearly 18%. The DHS classifies alcohol-attributed deaths into two categories. Acute, which includes fatalities from causes such as drunk driving crashes or alcohol poisoning, and chronic, which refers to long-term effects like liver cirrhosis or cancer. DHS data reveals that alcohol-related acute deaths alone outnumber opioid deaths in the state. And a Wisconsin Republican congressman has introduced legislation that would repeal a federal program that provides funding to states to build their electric vehicle infrastructure. Wisconsin was awarded over $78 million through the Biden administration to develop fast charging stations across the state. So far, $23 million has been allocated for 53 of those stations. The bill from Congressman Tony Weed could cost Wisconsin about $55 million allocated for the EV chargers. And speaking of costs, the Green Bay Packers released their ticket prices for the upcoming season, and fans are going to have to spend a bit more money. Regular season tickets will increase between $7 and $21 per game. Of course, it depends on where you want to sit at Lambeau. Preseason ticket prices are roughly half the regular season prices, and those will increase between $3 to $11 per game. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a few showers around and lows in the mid-30s. And areas of rain for tomorrow, mainly in the afternoon, a high to the mid-40s. Rain changing to snow tomorrow night and windy. There could be some slushy accumulations Wednesday. Right now it's 38.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad, and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Jim from Appleton says, I would have given it to Dune 2. It left me impatiently waiting for number 3. That, man, it's funny because Dune 2 was nominated, one of the 10 best, according to the Academy. You did not hear much about it, though. I think it won Best Sound. But I enjoyed it. Great text, Jim. I don't know much about Dune 3 either, but maybe we can ask our next guest that. Joining us now on the program, as he so often does, our friend Matt Miller. He's a Milwaukee film critic who does great work and is always a joy to read. You can check out his Substack at A Man About Film. Check out his work. He does good stuff there. And he joins us now over the stream on Nightlight. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. A little tired. I'm still waiting for Adrian Brody's speech to end.
We've chopped it up. We're getting through it. It's a mini series here tonight. It's unbelievable what he, and it's funny. It's ironic that he was in the longest movie in the history of mankind. And then he gives the longest speech too. So I love
it. And you know, I could almost grant it if he was like a surprise winner. Like if he was, you know, not a betting favorite and, you know, he gets up there and he's like, he was somebody who was expected to be up there. It was between him and Timothy Chalamet. And B, he's been there before. Like he won an Oscar before. This isn't new to you. So, it's a great performance. He's a worthy winner, but boy, and you know what? No good speech has ever begun with the sentence, he threw his gum at his wife. You know, like that's.
Oh, is that
never...
what he threw? I didn't know. I saw him toss something.
Yeah, he would have gum, and instead of just swallowing it like a normal person, or I don't know, figuring out something, he like shucked it at his partner, and I'm just like, this is not a good start. This is not a strong start.
It would have been cool if he was like smoking a cigarette and he looked at her and said, "Keep this lit." But yeah, gum. I don't get that. That just doesn't.
I think it's officially by 1 second the longest speech in the history of the Academy
Awards.
Is
that true?
Which takes some doing.
Wow.
So good work, Adrian Brody. And the funny thing is, it's not like he had a lot of meaningful things to say either. We got to the end of that speech and we were like, the guys trying to, you know, make peace in the Middle East were able to wrap it up faster than
God,
you.
No kidding. Nuts. Yeah, he needed it an envoy. Nuts. Yeah, it was strange because it was meandering. It's like, really? Like, and then he tells them to stop the music. I got to get through this. And like, he's a second time Oscar winner. That's probably what gave him the street cred to have them do that. But come on, dude.
Well, and like, you'd think when he was shushing the orchestra, it was like, oh, here's where he has like the heartfelt tribute to his parents or something. And instead, it was just more rambling. It was one of the most bizarre parts of the night. And there was a random Wiz tribute in the middle of the night. So it was a fun night, but that was not one of the highlights.
All right, before we get hardcore into this deep dive, I came down to the wire. The only film I was unable to see was I'm Still Here. I just don't live in an area where they showed it, and it's not available
to
stream.
Yeah, that was a late release. That one just came out just a few weeks ago. Yeah,
but I did see Nickel Boys, and I did see The Brutalist. I wasn't a fan of The Brutalist. I love the story of Nickel Boys, but I thought the techniques they used, breaking the fourth wall and kind of how they told the story, took me out of it a little bit. I know some people love it. What is your take on those two films, Matt?
Yeah, I love Nickel Boys would have been, if I was a person with a ballot, Nickel Boys would have been my best picture.
Nice.
I do get the kind of hesitance people have toward that movie. For people who don't know, it's a movie about two young black boys in a reform school, in a abusive, horrific reform school in Florida in the 1960s, based on the Colson Whitehead novel. And it's all told in first person mode. It is all told from the perspective of its two characters. And I think that works really well in that movie. I think it especially serves as a gut punch when you see when they're older, you see that the camera is not first person. It is dissociated. It is seen from their backside. I think it's a very moving, emotionally well-told movie. But I understand it is a very strange movie. Like I said, a lot of technical craft is getting involved in that film, and it can be distancing for some people. For me, it was more immersive. I'm amazed it got the Best Picture nomination over the likes of Sing Sing, which is a little bit more, conventionally uplifting and interesting and kind of conventionally, you know, emotional. So I was happy. The nomination was the win there. And I respect The Brutalist. I think it's a mammoth production that they pulled that movie off. But for a 3.5 hour long movie, I really want to like feel that movie and really come away being amazed. And the back half of that movie just doesn't come together for me in a way that I really walked out satisfied. But I can't not appreciate everything that went into making that movie. It's one maybe I respect more than I really love. Well, and I think that's why it didn't win much last night, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, other than Adrian Brody and Best Score, I think Brutalist was otherwise pretty much held out.
And in a weird way, and that's a great way to put it. I respect it too. And Adrian Brody was great. I just felt like it would have had a better chance if it were a true story. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like kind of it was like, wait, now this guy's doing this, and now... I don't know. It just did not resonate with me, but it looked great. Adrian Brody was, all the actors were great. Felicity Jones was great.
I will say I like that it's not a true story. Like, if you remember 3 years ago, there was that weird thing with Tar, the Cate Blanchett movie, where people were like, oh, is this a biopic? And everyone was like, no, this is a completely made up character. And that's what I had with The Brutalist, where I walked out and I was like, I got to read more about this architect. And then it was like, oh, he's not a real person. Right. But I think that speaks to the writing of that movie, that he feels so real in a lot. And the story feels so tangible. I think that's maybe the most impressive thing about the movie, is that it feels like it should be based on a real person, or at least that this is a true story that actually is, for the most part, just inspired by an architect, as opposed to being truly a biography.
Right. And it's hard to argue with his win. Before we get into the awards, Matt, what did you think of the broadcast itself, the Oscars?
I thought it was a really good show. Yeah, I thought Conan O'Brien, this has got to be the first time in my lifetime that someone has hosted the Oscars and gotten rave reviews.
Yeah.
Normally, hosting the Oscars is the most hated job in Hollywood. You know, it's a no-win scenario. Everyone thinks you did a bad job. The room is, you know, awkward. Conan killed it. I think he did a very good job balancing, making fun of the room, making fun of himself. When it got to the why are we gathered here when the world is a mess portion of the night, I thought he delivered that really sincerely and well. I thought he did a good job of, I liked the pomp and circumstance of the show. I liked the kind of, we're going to do a 10 minute, you know, tribute to James Bond for no real reason.
What was that? That was crazy.
If Amazon didn't buy the rights to Bond and that franchise is doomed to become a shell of itself and MCU'd to death, I think I'd be more upset about that, but I appreciated it. Do you know the John Mulaney joke about making a birthday sign where it's like you start and you do a big old B and a big old I and a smaller R and you realize you're running out of room on the sign? Yeah. That's how last night's show kind of felt, where it was like in the beginning of the night, they really let people take their time and luxuriate. You got these really fun speeches and emotional moments. And then as the night got on, clearly ABC was like, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
So more people started getting played off. And, you know, it seemed like things were really kind of rushing to get to the end. But I thought it was a good show. I'm sure the ratings aren't going to be great. I don't think this was a show people were like, you know, oh, I got to see what's going on here. And we have to acknowledge that, you know, these kind of shows are becoming more niche entertainment as opposed to general public entertainment.
Right.
That's fine. That is the way culture is going right now. But I thought it was a good show. And I think if the Oscars were smart, they should be like, Conan, here's a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
Keep doing this. You did great.
He was, and Conan's already kind of awkward. I thought he seemed at ease as I've ever seen him hosting that broadcast. Like, he was a natural to do that. I thought he pulled it off great.
He has that good insider-outsider energy where he knows what's going on. He knows how to poke fun at the industry while also seeming like an outsider, but also not alienating the people the way Kimmel can, or the way Ricky Gervais does, where Ricky Gervais just seems like it tends to run a little mean and a little self-satisfied about it. It's like, oh, I bet you've never heard this about yourselves.
Right.
Yes, they have, Ricky. They have the internet, too. So I really liked Conan. I thought he had just the right tone. You know. And again, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come back next year. If he doesn't, I don't know what they're doing.
I hope he does, too. And just to put a button on the broadcast itself, I love what they did with the fire victims, with the first responders. The sandworm thing was ridiculous, but kind of funny and just silly. So I like that.
The one complaint I have, and this will be apparently my eternal complaint, show clips of the movie.
Yeah.
Show the work. I don't need to hear Robert Downey Jr. use this big 5-minute flowery, you know, monologue to each of the nominees for Best Supporting Actor that I tune out of. Show the work that you are nominating and get people excited to see these performances, as opposed to have someone just being like, oh man, that cinematography was so good. Show the cinematography. It's a visual medium.
Right. That's what we're doing here. Yeah. Mick Jagger was cool too. That was kind of fun when Jagger went out there.
And that's the vibe, I think, of the modern Oscars. You know, have celebrities come out and kind of just like seem like they're hanging out, being cool on stage. Like that was what the Oscars can be at their best. And I think what we need them to be. I thought last night it was that good combination of like relaxed and, you know, glamorous and luxuriating in its pomp. And I think that's a good combo we can move forward with.
I totally agree. My guest is Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. Check out his stuff on his Substack at A Man About Film. We're breaking down the Oscars a little bit here. Let's jump in to the actual awards, Matt. Kieran Culkin started off the evening with a win. Your thoughts?
One of the weirder steamroll victories I've seen in a while. And we've seen some weird ones too, like Renee Zellweger winning for Judy, which no one has thought about that Oscar win in quite some time. I think he's very good in A Real Pain. I'm just amazed there was never seemingly any competition. And I kept waiting for that to happen. You know, when Real Pain missed out on Best Picture nomination, I was like, okay, maybe this is Ed Norton's time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we start getting into the award ceremonies and his speeches are kind of awkward and rambling. And you're like, okay, well, maybe this will be, you know, Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. Maybe people will move towards him. Never happened. People just really like him, like his persona, liked that performance in the movie, which I think is fair. It's a good performance. And that movie crumbles if that performance isn't perfect.
Are you talking about Kieran Culkin now or Guy Pearce?
Kieran Culkin.
Okay, right.
Like if Culkin's performance is not pitch perfect in terms of being a charming jerk, like being a guy you hate that you have to be related to, but also you get why people like him, that movie falls apart. That movie is unwatchable. You know, that movie is a Sundance movie no one ever speaks of ever again. And instead, you know, it became the movie it was. So I appreciate the win. But yeah, I'm kind of amazed that it never faced any resistance this entire year.
My whole thing was like with that was I felt like he was doing his character from Succession too. Like he's so good at that. It's so natural to him. I felt like Guy Pearce, I wasn't expecting him to win. But when I just saw The Brutalist yesterday, and Guy Pearce is one of my favorite actors. I thought he was great. Loved Ed Norton. Jeremy Strong, I did not see The Apprentice. Borisov was good in Anora. It could have gone any way in that of those nominees, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Boris.
Yuri Borisov, I think.
Yeah. In Anora, which obviously is a movie they loved. And he becomes a very big part of that movie by the second half. Ed Norton, he's the heart of A Complete Unknown. And I agree. I think Guy Pearce is really... This is he's fun in The Brutalist. The way he plays this kind of, you know, aloof, hyper billionaire, you know,
but passionate. High and mighty guy. I was trying to figure his character out the whole movie. That was my favorite thing, maybe, about that, in addition to Adrian Brody's performance. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with all the winners this year is that pretty much all of them I have no problems with. This was a really strong year of winners that I'm like, good for you. Like even Zoe Saldana, I don't love Emilia Perez. I don't love that performance. Yeah. But listen, Zoe's been putting in good work for years in really big stuff. She took a big swing in this movie. She's probably the best performance in that movie. So yeah, that's fine.
Let's pick up there when we come back after a very short break. Matt Miller is here helping us break down the Oscars. We'll get into some of the other awards when we come back. And then Mark Hansen is here at 7:35, the musical theater chair at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. You won't want to miss that as well. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Anna in Madison, she's in the 608, says, Pete, Adrian Brody's girlfriend is Harvey Weinstein's ex-wife. Wow. Talk about, yeah, they split up in 2018. Talk about a rebound. So if she's married to Harvey Weinstein, getting a chunk of gum thrown in her direction is probably a highlight of her day, I would imagine.
That is not great.
That is not, no, and well, whatever. I mean, that's a shock. Thank you, Anna, for the text. And then, where are we here? Conrad, I'm lost. Oh, there we go. Joshua from Wausau says, Pete, this is good. Pete, how about awards? I watched The Godfather of Green Bay a couple months ago. Good movie. Made me laugh, but it deserves an award for the number of times the Macarena is played in a movie. Yeah. Most people probably wouldn't argue with their Joshua. We paid handsomely for that title. We wanted to get our fair use out of it. Matt Miller is here. We're breaking down the Oscars. Matt, so you're okay with Zoe Saldana. That's another category I thought could have gone. I would have been happy with anybody that won. I thought they were all great. I will say Emilia Perez, the more distance I have from it, the more I dislike it for some reason.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I talking to people in my Oscar watching room and people I was texting with, one of the big takeaways was, oh, that movie looks interesting. I want to like everyone wanted to watch that movie. But I think the thing is, Emilia Perez is best watched in 10-second clips. Like that movie is so out of control and so many, you know, impulses not being reined in and a lot of people taking big swings that maybe don't work. Especially across a 2-hour time frame.
That was a mess.
I can respect the swings it's taking, but it is not a movie I particularly, it was the least of my, of the nominees I thought this year.
Same. And what I don't understand is I don't think the Twitter scandal even hurt them. I think they were lucky to win two. I don't know that really hurt them in the long run.
I think even as like, I think that probably was the death knell for that movie, but I think it was as soon as it got that many nominations, because people forget it was only one nomination away from tying the record for most nominations for a movie ever.
That's crazy.
I think, you know, the front runner's curse hit it, you know, it got all those nominations and people were like, do we like this movie that much? I don't think so. And people backed away from it, and they found other places to go. And obviously, Anora was that case, especially in terms of Best Picture.
So let's talk about we talked a little bit about Adrian Brody. Was that an upset, or who would you have given it to, Matt?
It's hard to say. I would have given it to the woman, Fernanda Torres, in I'm Still Here, the Brazilian movie. I think that's a really fabulous performance in a very good movie. I wouldn't call that an upset. I know a lot of people in the aftermath were like, oh, Demi Moore, looks like Hollywood didn't learn the lesson from The Substance.
Who did I say? I was talking about Adrian Brody, but maybe you thought I meant Emilia Perez. But I was asking if you thought Adrian Brody... who would you have given Best Actor to?
Oh, Best Actor. I would have... Oh, boy. In that category, I'm trying to remember who's all in there.
You got Timothée Chalamet, Coleman Domingo.
I think I would have given it to Chalamet. I think he's pretty great in that movie. And I think... And of the nominee... Oh, no. Coleman Domingo in Sing Sing. Never mind. I forgot he's nominated. He's tremendous in Sing Sing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Coleman Domingo's going to be accepting award at the Oscars within the next 5 years.
I agree.
He's... putting out great work. He is really liked in Hollywood. I think if he finds the right movie and it gets the right push, that's a done deal. You know, it's like Paul Giamatti with The Holdovers. You know, give him one more movie and that man is going to have an Oscar.
So funny you say that, because Coleman Domingo, you're right. He is. I watched the first spinoff of The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. I stuck with that kind of because of him. He plays a scoundrel, and I still liked him. Like, the guy just has that quality. He's got that great voice. He's a good actor. For whatever reason, people love him. So you're probably right about
that.
Yeah,
he's great. He's instant gravitas on screen. Like, to bring it to current events, like, he's got kind of Gene Hackman energy, where it's just like, guy shows up on screen, and he feels like a lived-in person immediately.
That's really interesting. Okay, so Coleman Domingo, but yeah, I'm with you. I can't argue. Adrian Brody was great. Let's turn to actress. I have to say, I don't know how you feel about The Substance. I hated it. Another movie when I get distance from it. No thanks. And Demi Moore was good, but everyone was acting like it was a slam dunk, and I'm like, there's some other great performances here too. I didn't think what she did. I've seen her act in other better films, I think.
Yeah, and I was getting to this point where, you know, this morning everyone was like, ooh, it looks like Hollywood didn't learn the lesson from The Substance. They gave a new young starlet the award instead of a woman who's aging. And I just want to be like, are we forgetting that The Substance is an insane movie? Are we forgetting that The Substance is one of the wildest movies to ever receive Best Picture nominations from the Oscars? That movie is gross and violent and in your face at all times. The fact that Demi Moore was in the running is a victory all in of itself. I really like that movie. I think that movie's, you know, outlandish and wild. And I'm not surprised at all that the Oscars in the end were like, yeah, this movie's too big, too weird. And if they loved Anora as much as they obviously did, they gave it Best Picture. They gave it, I believe, 5 Oscars at the end of the night.
Six crazy.
Oscars at the end of the night. They clearly liked Anora a lot. How do you give Anora Best Picture and not give Anora Best Actress?
Great
so I think, and you know what? Mikey Madison is tremendous in that movie. That's another performance where that movie doesn't work without
her.
She
carries it. Absolutely.
Yeah. The movie is at its worst when she falls out of the movie in that kind of middle section. But when she is the centerpiece of that movie is very good.
Yeah. Matt Miller is my guest. We'll talk Best Picture and Best Director by the hottest thing in Hollywood right now. I think he has been for a while, and I just didn't know it. Sean Baker. We'll talk about that for a few more minutes with Matt Miller when we come back after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I remember there was a radio was coming from the room next door. My mother laughed the way some ladies do. When it's late in the evening and all the music's seeping through.
Young man, next thing I remember, I was walking down the street. I was feeling all right, I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops, yeah.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news. The White House confirms to CBS News that the administration is pausing military aid to Ukraine. Earlier today, President Trump said the minerals deal is not off the table with Ukraine.
I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else.
Trump says that tariffs against Canada and Mexico will go into effect tomorrow. It caused the stock market to fall sharply. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger on what it means for us when shopping.
We don't know how long it will take, because sometimes things happen very quickly within weeks. Some things take longer, like in terms of months. And we don't know how long these tariffs are going to actually be in place.
Pope Francis with bilateral pneumonia remains in guarded condition. After more setbacks today, CBS's Steph Stone reports.
Pope Francis had two acute respiratory crises on Monday, both of them caused by a mucus buildup and also spasms in the airways.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer.